It's showtime. Hey, what up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show. How are you? I hope all is well. Here we go, right back at it. Just days after the Christmas episode dropped, here we go, right back at it. Now, I hope you enjoyed that Christmas episode. Why? Because I spent a whole lot more time on it, a whole lot more effort than I thought I would. If you've been listening to the old Kenny Ho Show now for, you know, a good few years, you know, Christmas time is usually a time when GTA Online drops, like, their big DLC of the year, and usually I'm gone. I remember there was one year I had to do a Imagine It's Christmas episode, because that was a really rough year. That was, like, GTA ruled my life type of year. That's a year when I was getting to work late because I was too busy, you know. I was late to a place that gave me real money for showing up because I was so caught up in making my fake money on GTA Online. I believe it was the same year the Christmas episode came out late because I was just a wreck. I mean, I had this inside track to a radio job that I completely blue because there was a few different things, but just like GTA ruling my life, where I didn't even try to get this dude's contact until like the 11th hour, so it just didn't happen. So I feel like if you're a longtime listener of the Kenny Ho Show, a supporter of the show, you've probably come to understand the Christmas episode is a real crapshoot. You might listen to it, you know, a little before Christmas, on Christmas, or well into the new year. And this year, I guess I'm more haunted by the Imagine It's Christmas more than I thought, because that's what I kept thinking of. I'm like, oh man, I remember that one year I did a Christmas episode a few days late, maybe a week late or something. I don't want to do that again. I mean, I expect very little from myself at this point. I have little to no standards in life. Well, except for when it comes to women, I suppose. Which I have no business having any standards, but I've told the story once and I'll tell it again. My old hairdresser or whatever, the dude who used to cut my hair, he was a family friend. So he'd tell me real shit every time. Imagine, like, I'm like a 13-year-old boy or something like that, and he's like telling me real shit as he's cutting my hair. He's like, my mom keeps telling me, just go home. He's from Vietnam, so he's like, go home to Vietnam. He's the only Vietnamese guy I still trust. He wasn't the only at the time, but I learned the hard way. Definitely DTA. Don't trust anybody. And then with a subclause, DTA, comma, especially the Vietnamese. More recently, I've also added a second comma, also Jamaican black guys. Africans are cool. Jamaicans, well, they're the Vietnamese of black people. I mean, now that I think of it, you gotta also add Indians because of all their scammer calls. Russians because of all their hacking. And just women in general because of all their thottery. What a horrible world we live in. I hope the meteor will be ready soon. Still spinning out of control, buddy! But I digress. The point of the story was, my barber used to tell me, how can I just go back to Vietnam and marry any girl? Any girl will do? What are you, crazy? I have to wake up next to this broad each and every day. If she's gross, how do you expect me to live my life? And that's just it. Even though I'm quite homely myself, I'm not interested in rank bitches. I mean, I've had an opportunity, not even like, I'm sure, yes, at some rank bitches, but like, I'm not even considering those ones. But I've had opportunities at like, decent to, hey, you know what? She was actually kind of good. It's just, she paled in comparison next to Cutter Girl, right? That was the gold standard. Like, there's this one girl, Christine. Now, this was like Cutter Girl, sure. Like, when we were dealing, she dealt with a very damaged me on the inside. But physically, I still looked all right. I still looked way the hell younger than I actually was. Very Asian, right? I was still working out pretty consistently, pretty often. So she got, you know, a good Kenny, just not the best, the great version of young Kenny. But this girl, Christine, she came when, like, I was at my all-time worst on the inside, you know, with Cutter Girl kicking me to the curb and such. And when this girl was down to clown, I had just started drinking, like, a few months prior. And when I first started drinking, I was making up for lost time. I started drinking when I was in my, what was I? I was like 27 going on 28, that type of situation. So, you know, if you think about it, people have been drinking probably underage since they were, you know, 15, 16 years old. If they're a dirty Frenchman, they probably were drinking by the time they were 3 or 4, right? So to start so much later than everybody else, hey, I was a competitive guy back then. I had standards. I'm like, oh, I'll show you. I'll drink you all under the table. Not realizing alcohol, man, it gets you fat and ugly in a hurry. So I was also doing double time on that as well. The average drinker, you know, they start in, let's say they're legit. They're not a con man and an abuser of the law and its rules. Let's say somebody legit, they start drinking at 19. And they drink, you know, 2-3 times a week. Gradually, their looks fade. Gradually, their shape, you know, falls out of whack. But because it happens over a course of a few years, and I'm imagining a white guy right now, so like, you know, despite this, despite him, you know, going from, you know, good-looking young dude to a homely 20-something, you know, it doesn't matter because he can grow a big beard and cover it up, and these racist-ass white girls will love him anyway. But when you do it, when you do 7 years of falling apart in 1 year, oh, it's very noticeable. It's definitely a fall from grace. Realistically, you're not going to notice somebody gradually falling into homeliness over the span of 7 years, especially if they weren't that good looking to start with. Well, he was a nice guy. Oh, what about looks wise? Well, he was a nice guy. But my goodness, if you're a pretty boy, baby-faced, male model looking son of a gun one moment, and then you play the let's deal with my problems through alcohol game, everybody notices that you've become hideous. Everybody notices that you've gone from an adorable mogwai into a dirty gremlin. And that's what I lived through. That's what I experienced. But somehow this Christine girl, I've talked about her before. This girl, this busty, what are the Kardashians? They're like Armenian or whatever. That's what she was. Like, she was like a very poor man's Kardashian. Like, believe me, her body was on the level of Kim K without the like obscenely large ass. Like, I know I'm out of touch. I'm not, you know, hip with it. But really large asses is not really my thing. Mostly because I'm not black. Like, I work with a lot of black kids, basically. Like, a lot of younger black guys because of the nature of my shitty job is, like, no education needed. I'll take you of your breathing type of situation. And so these guys always, like telling me about these girls or showing me these girls on their phone, and they're like pointing out these massive asses. And I'm not trying to get into like an argument or a debate about, you know, how beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I first of all have to explain what that means to them, because I feel like some of these guys were quite poorly educated, if educated at all. It's not because they're black. It's not. I'm not trying to say that black people are not well educated or anything like that. That has nothing to do with it. No, I'd have to explain to these ones in particular because they're stupid. So each time I'm like, I'm not gonna go through the trouble. I'm like, oh, great! Wow, what a nice ass. It's like, it's gross. I'm like, does this bitch like just eat cake all day? Like, it's so strange. Like, they don't even care about the quality of the ass. It's just size matters. First of all, this girl's kind of on the fat side of things. So there's issue number one. But issue number two is, look at the goat cheese on that ass. I don't care how delusional a society we live in. Nobody can reasonably argue that a cellulite-ridden ass is the way that it's supposed to be. That's the good shit, you know? A goat cheese ass is gross on anybody. Now, I'm not going to name her because I don't want to embarrass her. But honestly, one of the most beautiful women I've ever had the privilege to meet. And I don't really want to say befriend. I don't think we were actually friends. We're just classmates. But like, this girl was perfect and every single way. That face is like a 15 out of 10. Her melons were a 15 out of 10. Everything about her was at least a 10 out of 10, except for her ass. Her ass in pants, 10 out of 10. But I had the privilege to see her ass. I don't know if that's really a privilege, but it was cellulite ridden. It was a little goat cheesy. And even on basically Aphrodite on Earth, a goat cheese ass is gross. Cellulite on the derriere is a huge no-no in old Kenny's book. That's why I find it so crazy. These young kids, they got no standards. Just size is all that matters. That's why society's going to hell. That's why art and culture's going down the drain. It's because these people are superficial and shallow and don't have good taste. Like, I'm not good at stuff. I don't have any real particular set of skills that's admirable or anything like that. But the one thing I will say about myself that is a positive and that I do right is I do have good taste. Judging by my shapely figure, food for sure. But I think I have, a good sense of style, both like design for homes and clothes and stuff. I can't afford any of this good stuff. That's why I'm not stylish at all, home or otherwise. But certainly, when it comes to chicks, I've got immaculate, impeccable taste. It's just, they also have... Nah, I can't say they all have good taste. Most of them are stupid whores who, like, pick real losers. Douchebags, douche nozzles. Just absolute shit. So it turns out, after all these years, I've realized I have great taste. It's just these chicks don't. Well, I suppose this Armenian girl does. She was very, very down, but the problem with her was she was just so boring and so negative. Like, if you think I'm a negative, pessimistic person, like, you don't want to deal with this girl. This girl makes me look like a ray of sunshine. That's the only reason I didn't date her, because it was on the table. Like, it was a matter of me being like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. But just like, because I knew her for, I don't know, like a year before, like, she started wanting to love me long time. Or I suppose have me love her long time. And this girl just used to just complain about everything, just bitch about everything. And that's what it came down to. I mean, if I were a callous person, which I should be, because there's no reason to be merciful to this world as far as I'm concerned, but sadly I still am. I mean, in large part it's because I'm a coward, but I suppose there's a hint of decency in me. Whereas this girl, if I were a callous person, I would have just she would have gotten the old humpity hump hump treatment and nothing else. It would have just been whatever the minimum requirement was for me to get a piece. That's all I would do. There's definitely no romance. If she were like, oh, let's go on a date. Let's go get a coffee so we can just talk. I'd be like, maybe for like 5 minutes. Then afterwards, it's your place or mine, bitch. Because this girl had nothing to say. It was just complain about this, complain about that. There were no jokes ever. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't expect anyone of any ilk in any situation to say what I say and talk as much shit as I do. But you gotta have a little something to say. Like, Cutter Girl was pretty great. She had a great sense of humor. And she was even, like, she was definitely really smart. Like, she was very well-read and such. So she had plenty to say. And not of the annoying ilk. Because you also don't want to deal with girls who have plenty to say, but it's all just, like, liberal, radical feminist horse shit, right? Yeah, with this Christine chick, if the price of admission were dates, every single date would be a movie where there'd be no conversation. Even better yet, some sort of like live theater, so she wouldn't even be tempted to talk during the show. On second thought, I wouldn't do that. I'd have to go sit through some shitty play in order to avoid talking to this girl. I would suck it up. I would be like, all right, let's do this quick coffee, and then you get juked. Why the hell did I even start talking about this chick? Oh, wasn't it something like my barber was like, I can't wake up next to just any old broad. Yeah, I guess it's same thing with Christine here. Like, physically, just by her looks, I wouldn't be ashamed. Like, she's quite the catch physically. And I've never even seen her, like, dolled up. I've seen her wear, like, super tight clothes to impress me. And goodness gracious, believe me, I was very impressed. But I've never seen her, like, you know, really, like, because she always wore glasses. I've never seen her go, like, contacts, like, and she always wore her hair up. I've never seen it, like, you know, like, super straightened out with, like, that, you know, hot iron or whatever. So physically, believe me, I would not be ashamed of her. She should be ashamed of me, like, the way I used to look when she was down. I was very large and nowhere near in charge. But I have no doubts, even though, you know, waking up next to that girl, you know, just physically looking over, I'm like, God damn, nice. But then I think about it a little bit more. I'm like, but this is one empty bitch here. Talking to her is like pulling teeth. I eat dinner as fast as I can now because I don't want to have to deal with this woman and her nonsense complaining about Canada Post. Oh my God, what kind of life am I leading when I have to hear about this woman complaining about Canada Post? I could have had Cutter Girl. She's physically as nice, if not nicer, but she had all that inner beauty too. Sure, this one's less screwed up with the, you know, not, you know, self-mutilating herself and such, but she's definitely messed up too because she was into me when I was like really fat, so there's something wrong with her there. But at least this one benefits me, whereas I feel like Cutter Girl, you say the wrong thing, that girl's taking her own life. You know, one day I could think I'm being so funny and saying something I'm like, she's gonna be slapping her knees the whole night through. And I come back home a few days later from my miserable day job thinking, you know what? It's gonna be okay. I'm gonna get to make out with Cutter Girl, a girl who's way out of my league. She's gonna make everything be all right and feel all right. And I open the door. And there she is, hanging from the rafters. I don't know what's worse in this situation, that one of the best girls I could possibly hope to get is now no more? Or is it that she went out stealing my move? Or What's really worse is come a month later, I find out that bitch charged that rope on my credit card. That goddamn mentally ill harlot. And even though that would be a perfect time to end the show, it's the last one of 2021. I mean, that's what, like 21, 22 minutes in. Let's go for at least a half hour. Why not, right? A little bit more bang for, well, wait a minute. There's no buck. I'm the only one who's got any financial vested interest in this. Whatever, what am I really going to do? I kind of burned myself out on GTA Online, and working out seems to be a thing of the past for me. I legitimately was like, I should probably work out. And it's not even for other people. It's not even to get a girl or anything like that. It's like, I just remember when I used to look in the mirror, I used to be like, God damn, I look good. Now I'm like, you know, I wonder how much of a process and how involved it is to get rid of these mirrors, because I don't care to be reminded all the time. So I thought, you know, while I still have some of my youth left, I should probably, you know, like trim down so I don't scare myself every time I look in a mirror. But it's rough. I did like a few push-ups couple weeks ago or whatever, a week ago, or I don't know, like time for the past like 3 years, not even more than that really, because when you've gotten the mental health issues that I do, a year slips by, 2 years slips by, 5 years, 10 years, it all just moves very fast. But whatever, I did a few push-ups off my knees the other day, and I'm like, you know what, I should probably try again. And legit, this morning I was like, today's the day I'll try to, you know, change my life a little. Well, I didn't say that, because that sounds like way the hell out of what I'm capable of doing. Changing my life, that's a big change. I don't even know how to change the filter on the Brita. I let my mother do that. Yeah, but long story short, I just like laid around for a bit. Played a bunch of MLB The Show, and then finished off my night in Los Santos. Not a push-up to be found anywhere. But it's getting close, right? It's getting close to that time of year where every jabroni on the planet sets themselves up to start their years with failure. The New Year's resolution. Who in the right mind ever does one of those things and actually ends up doing it, right? And actually comes through with it? Nobody. Because people are inherently lazy, and who the hell wants to work out of their comfort zone? Unless your New Year's resolution is to quit your damn job that you hate, that you can't stand going to, and possibly getting a better one where you enjoy yourself. I don't know about the enjoying yourself part, but at least like the not dreading, that's a distinct possibility, because that's leaving a horrible situation that you're not comfortable in anyways. You're uncomfortable there, and you're going to try to find somewhere where you can be comfortable. That's the only time it works, when you're leaving discomfort to find comfort. And even then, there are people who would rather deal with a shitty job that they know they're too good at. I'm projecting, right? Like that's totally me. I'm like, I know I'm more talented and capable than being at the job that I'm at, but I'm comfortable there. I make shit all for money, but I'm comfortable there. How many people on this planet know they should be doing more in life, but because they're comfortable, even if they're not crazy about their jobs, even though if they kind of hate their jobs or full on hate their jobs, but there's still like a level of comfort. Like, it's not uncomfortable. It's not like their boss is, you know, goosing them at work and stuff. So there's not like an urgent need to leave. How many people actually do anything? Like, if you think about fitness, which is like everybody's goal each and every year, right? Well, this is it. This is the year that I want to stop being such a fat slob. Well, the reason you're a fat slob is probably because you hate working out. Because working out inherently is not a pleasant thing to do. It is, you're literally trying to kill something in you or damage something in you. You're trying to kill the calories, burn the calories up, or if you're trying to get swole, you're tearing muscle fibers in your body. That is inherently a painful, unpleasant, uncomfortable thing. So unless you find joy in these things, that you're comfortable with being uncomfortable and in pain, you're always going to be a fat slob. Because you might, there are plenty of people who, you know, stick with it for a month or two and they see results. But the moment they see those results, they're like, well, hot diggity damn, I'm done. Back on the stroll, back out there. Maybe now someone will love me. And whether they find someone to love them or not, they're going to find themselves at the bottom of a jug of beer. What are those things called? Steiners? A Steiner of beer? Or the bottom of a bag of Lay's potato chips, right? I'm telling you, I used to actually love working out. Like, I would feel good. And I was the type of person, even though the workouts were painful, I would laugh through it. I would find, like, I was an oddball. Like, I remember one time I was at the gym and I was doing this core workout and it was like the most painful thing I'd ever experienced in my life. And so instead of like, you know, grunting like these meathead guys do, which is like, calm down, all right? We all know you're here. We all know you're a big waste of space. Calm down, all right? But like for me, instead of grunting and stuff, I just started laughing uncontrollably because it was so painful, but for whatever, I mean, come on, you listen to the Kenny Ho show. Everything's a goddamn joke to me. My life is a punchline. I mean, I used to be in such great shape because I enjoyed working out. I enjoyed being uncomfortable. But that's before I got really fat. Oh, once you go there, like instead of having a salad for lunch, you can have a filthy burrito. There's no coming back after that. And I don't know, you know, my brain's definitely weirdly wired, damaged and such. But having my Sims workout oddly makes me feel like, feels like I just did my workout as well. On to burrito number 3. So it's almost getting to that time of year again. But we're already in the time of year where, as a kid, this time of year always bothered me. You know, I was never a wealthy child and, you know, got to experience life fully and, you know, got to take trips and vacations and stuff. So I was just at home during winter break all the time. And, you know, when Mama wasn't yelling at me, she'd let Uncle Television take his turn raising me. So I just remember Christmas breaks, I would watch TV and it was always just shit. It was always, you know, at first it was novels, like these year-end reviews, like round the clock, the top 100 plays of the year, that type of stuff. Back then I was just like, you know, they're just celebrating their achievements of and recapping what happened in this, you know, brilliant year of 1997 or something, right? But as I got older, I started hating it more and more. I'm like, why can't we have original television? Like, why can't we have new shit instead of watching, instead of having this playback of all this old shit? And it turns out, as I've gotten even older and had, you know, dabbled in showbiz a little bit, and it turns out why that happens is because all the talent is on their privileged holidays. They're on that trip that I never got to experience. They're going on their sleigh rides. They're nailing their hot trophy wives. So they can't come up with new content. So they go and get their fat loser behind the scenes guy who has no family, no friends, or any semblance of love whatsoever in his life to cut together the best of shit and run the board all alone on Christmas, while everybody else in the world is having a riveting good time. And not once does it cross their mind that maybe Fat Jim at work, this might be the year. This might be the year where he puts the Glock in his mouth. I mean, he's done it 3 or 4 times, but maybe this is the year he'll have the cojones to pull the trigger. Do it, Jim. You're fat. No one loves you. And I'm the angel on your shoulder. All right, that's it. That's the Kenny Ho Show for 2021. I have no idea what I said this year. I don't recall if 300 was 2021 or was that 2020. I have no idea. If it was this year, was that an achievement? Who knows? It depends who you ask. It depends how caught up in the Kenny Ho Show the person you're talking to is. Because apparently, there's been people who've been obsessed with this show. I've gotten feedback in the past where people have told me that they are. And then I look at the numbers and then like their SoundCloud shows up. I'm like, wow, this person listened to like 15 episodes in a row. They really are obsessed. One was awfully fat. Pretty face, but awfully fat. So I didn't bother with her. But the other two girls, they were slim, trim, hot white girls. I didn't do anything about it because one was married and the other... well, I don't know why I didn't do anything. Like, she was dating, like, some really, really fat guy at the time. I'm like, my goodness, I'd be doing her a favor if I tried to pry her away from his grubby, greasy, Crisco-filled hands. She was a sweet kid, you know? I know she wanted to, you know, meet the right guy, meet Prince Charming, get married, and live happily ever after, and live a good long life. This guy and Andrea's husband, they're like toe-to-toe, the fattest sons of bitches standing in old Kenny's way of happiness. I don't have to wait that long. Eventually, not that far from now probably, they both dropping dead from some sort of cardiac arrest. Brought on by the Crisco. But until 2022, so crazy, like, I remember when it was 92. I was a wee one, Captain. With any luck, this will be it. This will be the year that the meteor comes and puts us all out of our misery, and better yet, ends the streak of these happy people. It's one thing to end the lives of the miserable, but it just warms my heart to know that these happy people that, you know, have great careers, led great lives, have plenty of memories that they wish to recall and look back on and cherish, and they're getting to do their beautiful wives, and they want to live forever, you know, and have generations and generations of kids and success and generational wealth, and they have it, they've gotten there, and then boom! It's all taken away from them. Oh, yes. Believe in happily ever after, will you? Take that. That's a wrap on 2021. Toodles.